You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
It's Unnecessary Roughness, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas.
Takes the snap. It's a run to Jacobs, trying the left side. First through a hole, 40, 45, 50. Down to the near side, 40. And a stiff arm. They're not going to catch him. Jacobs at the 10. 5. Touchdown, Raiders. Josh Jacobs boosts through the hole and sprinted 63 yards for his longest play of the season.
This is Unnecessary Roughness. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. Here's your boy Q.
If you're lucky, you get 12 of them. That's the first of the month. That's the hood holiday. I hear my man Ari on the wheels of steel making it happen on this Friday, December 1st, 2023, heading into the last month of the 2023 season, or 2023 calendar year. Can't believe that it's already December 1st. The wife has been watching Hallmark movies since Halloween, but now it's actually that time of year. It is already December 1st. Here we are on top of that first of the month, the hood holiday celebration that Ari had. You heard that Josh Jacobs big time run to the house, 63 yards. Nice touchdown play by JJ. This is Unnecessary Roughness here on Raider Nation Radio. 920 sliding into this Friday, getting ready to slide into the weekend. And it's going to be a weird, bizarre weekend, right, Raider Nation? No game, right? It's funny. Antonio Pierce mentioned that earlier this week. Matter of fact, on Monday when we had an opportunity to meet with them, he was asked about the routine and getting the time off and how much do the players enjoy it. He said, yeah, they love it until about Thursday or Friday. Then all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a minute. Hold on. There's no game. What are we doing? What's going on? So it's going to be interesting to be able to kind of let your hair down, rest and relax a little bit yourself, not have to worry about the outcome of a football game. But, man, I'll be glad when Monday comes back around and we're preparing and getting ready to talk about another game coming up, week 14, actually, with the Minnesota Vikings. But, of course, as always, excited about the opportunity to be with you for the next 3 hours, closing out this week really strong. We definitely appreciate all the feedback that we'll get throughout the course of the show. I'm going to go ahead and give you that thanks ahead of time, 702-365-9200. And that's it, 702-365-9200. That's the Raider Nation listener line. And now, official like a referee's whistle, it is also the text line. So anytime you want to chime in on the show throughout the course of the day, just one number, 702-365-9200. And the first time you do that, it's going to ask you for, like, your name or whatever like that. That's easy, but that's the last time you have to do it. We can send text back and forth to you. It's going to be awesome. And, again, it's only one number, and so we're good to go. We're excited about that. I said it earlier this week that we'd only have one number at some point, and we get hopefully we'd get it by Monday. Well, we got it by Friday. We got it by the first of the month, so we're good to go. Again, lock that number into your phone, 702-365-9200. That is the don'tbebroke.com text line, and it is the Raider Nation listener line. Excited about that. Also excited about the guest that we have coming up on the show today, coming up at 2:30, Ryan Hogue, former Raider wide receiver. He was actually drafted Mr. Irrelevant back in 2003. That's the last draft pick that's selected in each and every draft. They call him Mr. Irrelevant. But think about this. A guy who walked on as a soccer player at Wake Forest and then went and played Division III football, getting selected in the draft at any point, I don't think there's anything irrelevant about that, right? And so we'll talk to Ryan Hogue. He was in Austin, Texas. Now he's actually moved to the Las Vegas area. So we'll talk to him about being drafted by the then Oakland Raiders, talk about his journeys in and around the NFL and the way it is being a seventh-round pick, the last pick of the draft in 2003, you know, what he's had to do going from the Raiders to the Vikings and other walks along the NFL. Also a guy from Minnesota, so it's kind of funny timing since the Vikings of the team that the Raiders are going to be playing next. So we'll ask him a little bit about Josh Dobbs and company, but really not going to do any kind of deep diving on the Vikings until next week. That would just be silly to start doing previews of a team that's not going to play for a whole week. Don't want to do that. But Ryan Hogue will join us coming up at 2:30. He also has done some modeling. My man's living his best life, right? He's doing all kind of good stuff. Bachelor, everything, right? I mean, he's got it going on. So excited to talk to Ryan coming up at 2:30. He'll probably be a guy that, you know, ends up being a regular contributor to the show. So looking forward to that. Ryan Hogue, former Raiders wide receiver, drafted in 2003, the last pick in that draft. They call him Mr. Irrelevant, but I'll tell you what, he's very, very relevant. Ask Brock Purdy about Mr. Irrelevant and what Mr. Irrelevant could do in the NFL draft. He'll join us at 2:30. We'll talk all things silver and black and just his journeys through the NFL. 3 o'clock, Shereen Williams, the Hall of Famer from Pro Football Talk. She'll join us to talk all things NFL. Of course, we'll talk about that Week 13 action as it got started on Thursday Night Football with the Cowboys and the Seahawks in a game that myself and Ari both picked the Cowboys to win. And at some point, I thought, man, we're both going to lose this one. We're both going to lose, Ari. I mean, it looked like for a minute that it wasn't looking good for Dallas, and I'm not a Cowboy fan, but I know that I picked the Cowboys to win that game. They were favored by 9.5 points, and it did not look good. They did find a way to pull it off, but, man, I don't know if they were overlooking Seattle, looking forward to next week's game against Philadelphia, but Seattle came out there to play in their house last night. I was pretty impressed.
I was sweating. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, we don't have anything on the line, but we right. do because you gotta win those picks contests. It's important to be.
Yeah, cheap. I mean, it's just for pride.
Yes.
If you don't have no pride in what you're doing, then what are you doing it for?
That's right. But we got it. We got that dub.
There you go. I want to win everything. There's nothing that I do that I ever want to lose at. Now, I mean, again, like you said, we ain't got no money riding on or anything, so it's not life or death. But damn, I want to brag a little bit. I mean, I'm gonna brag anyway.
Plus,
I'm a brag anyway.
We both have to hear about it when the other one beats the other one. So I mean,
and you got to hear about it more because I'm gonna say it anyway. I'm gonna talk that talk anyway. So
yeah,
there it is. But yeah, Week 13 got underway with the Cowboys getting the victory Thursday Night Football over the Seattle Seahawks. So we'll talk all things NFL with Shereen Williams, the Hall of Famer, coming up at 3 o'clock. And then there's another question that I have for her, Ari, and it's really about interim coaches, as Antonio Pierce is the interim coach right now for the Raiders. We know that, right? She's very good friends with Rich Bisaccia, who was the interim coach back in 2021, took over for John Gruden, guided the Raiders to the playoffs. I find it as a little bit of a coincidence, and maybe it's not a coincidence, and this is what I want to ask Shereen about when she joins us at 3 o'clock. The other team that had a really good interim head coach outside of the Raiders was the Panthers when they had Steve Wilks, and they didn't let him stay on as the full-time coach. They moved on from him. They went and got Frank Reich. Well, Frank Reich just got fired. The Raiders moved on from Rich Bisaccia and got Josh McDaniels. Well, Josh McDaniels got fired. So the two teams that had interim coaches that they did really well with, the Panthers and the Raiders, happen to be the only two teams that have fired their head coaches already in this year, this calendar year in 2023. Is that a coincidence? Or is that – I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's just – Look, the way this came up, it was really bizarre how it even came up. I was just thinking of interim coaches in general because we threw the stat out there earlier this week how it's so rare that those guys get the job. And so I was just kind of jotting that down on my piece of paper, my notes that I had. So when Shereen joins us, I can ask her about it. Just, hey, you've been around the game for a long time. Why is it so rare that the interim coach actually gets the full-time nod? And then all of a sudden it hit me. I was like, wait a minute, hold on. The two teams that are vacant right now as far as their head coach's position are the Panthers and the Raiders. Both had interim coaches that did well, Bisaccia and Wilks. And then they were both gone. And now both coaching positions are open. Like, that's kind of wild to me. Like, again, you might not be able to tie that together. You might not be able to lace it up like some shoestrings. But I feel like that there's something to it. So we'll ask Shereen. That's a question that I definitely have jotted down to ask Shereen coming up at 3 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, Brian Fisher from Fox Sports will join the show talking all things college football. It's championship weekend. Got Selection Sunday coming up on Sunday. Who's in the playoffs? Who's out of the playoffs? Is there a way for chaos to occur? Right now you got Georgia at number one. You got Michigan at number two. You got the UW Washington, the Fighting Lincoln Kennedys at number three. Right? You got Florida State there at number four. Their quarterback is out. Their main quarterback is out for the season after suffering a gruesome lower leg injury. Awful. The committee's looking to try to get Florida State out there, but they can't just kick them out of there because they're undefeated. They're having a really good season. So these championship games are going to matter. Oh, by the way, Ohio State, who just lost to Michigan, is at number six. Texas, who beat Alabama earlier in the season, is at number seven. Alabama's at number eight. And Alabama's going to take on Georgia in the SEC championship game. I think that's going to be the game. I do believe, I'll ask Brian when he joins the show coming up at 4 o'clock, I think that's the game that could cause the most chaos. Alabama wins that game. If that game's over and I'm yelling, Roll Tide, like we do here in the house, then look out. All bets are off. I mean, this game tonight, Oregon and Washington, number 5 versus number 3, number 3 versus number 5, however you want to slice it up. That game's going to have a lot to do with the college football playoffs as well. How exciting is that to have back-to-back championship games at Allegiant Stadium? If anyone tells you that Vegas is not popping when it comes to sports, just tell them, oh, yeah, there's two championship games back-to-back at Allegiant Stadium. That doesn't happen very often. It doesn't happen very often. It's happening. Pac-12 championship game tonight, Mountain West championship game tomorrow, Raider game on Sunday. Well, no, it's not. No Raider game. No Raider game till next week. There you go. I got ahead of myself. I started feeling froggy already, so I started to leap. But, yeah, they got two games back-to-back that are championship games, so those are big time. So that just lets you know what this city is all about as far as sports and how much it's growing and how much everyone wants to be here in Las Vegas when it comes to sports. There's a reason why the A's are fighting to get their stadium. The NBA is right around the corner. We all know that. So it's a lot going on, but excited about that. So we'll talk all things college football with Brian Fisher, a good friend from Fox Sports. He'll join us at 4 o'clock. Then every single Friday, Lee Sterling from ParamountSports.com, he joins the show. We'll talk about those games, as a matter of fact. We'll talk about some college football action. We'll talk about some NFL action and see where you can win some money. Win some money this weekend. He joins us each and every Friday. Definitely appreciate him. He'll join us about 4:30. So Ryan Hogue coming up at 2:30, former Raider wide receiver. Shereen Williams at 3, Brian Fisher at 4. Lee Sterling close out our guest lineup coming up at 4:30. Again, I want to make sure you have the number in your phone, 702-365-9200. That's the Raider Nation listener line. It's also the don'tbebroke.com text line. It's all one number. It all came together like butt cheeks, man. We're good. One number. That's all you need. 702-365-9200. With all that being said, let's go ahead and jump into the opening drive.
The opening drive of Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM is brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
Got a text already from our guy Carlos right here in the 702. He said, what up, Q? Carlos, first time texting you since previous way was kind of complicated, but I've been listening for about a year. Keep up the good work. Go Raiders. There you go. Round of applause for Carlos. Round of applause for Carlos. That's what I'm talking about, and that's why it was so important to get rid of the old way and come into the new way, which is simple. Make it simple, right? It's the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. So at some point, we had to keep it simple. It's real easy. 702-365-9200. You can call us or you can text us. It's all the same number. Got a text from Sir Whiskey Ray. Good afternoon, gentlemen, on this beautiful Friday. Keys to victory for week 13. Rest, relax, and regroup. It's pretty simple if you ask me, LOL. Switching gears to tomorrow's big conference championship game between UNLV and Boise State. I expect an entertaining game. Sorry to say, but I have Boise winning 34-30. Yes, I'm still butthurt that my San Jose State Spartans aren't playing in the game. Gentlemen, I want to personally invite you both for the wifey's big 50th bash this Sunday. Taco truck, plenty of cold beverages and TVs in every room here at the pad for the Niners game. Yes, she's a diehard fan. What can I say, Q? That's how we do it here. Thanks as always. Have a great show, Sir Whiskey Ray. Hold up. I thought Sir Whiskey Ray lit in the bay. How are we going to go to the 50th birthday bash if you in the bay? I'm just saying. I mean, I'm down for a party. I'm always down. Ari's got the big truck, man. He could throw us in the back of his truck and drive us up to the bay, but I'm just saying, we got to get back at some point. Big money Ari, maybe he'll put us on his private jet.
Oh, I was going to take the Bentley truck we were speaking about yesterday. I was going to take that out, but
that's
yeah,
funny.
We could fly the PJ instead.
There you go. Private there jet. You go. I like that. I like that. Larry hit us up on the text line and said, go Raiders, just like that. He said, go Raiders. I like that. The text line is already being used in a major way. We appreciate that at 702-365-9200. Don't forget, Ryan Hogue, former Raiders wide receiver, will join us coming up at 2:30. Now, I want to throw a question out there, as I do each and every day. I always have a topic or two I like to bring to the table. The first one's simple. What are you doing over the bye week? What are you doing this weekend, right? Are there some games you're focusing on? What are you going to be doing during the bye week? Are you hanging Christmas lights? I'll tell you who's not. This guy. But what are you doing? Like, what is the plan for the bye week weekend? What do you have planned for that? Also, the question that's really important, and this came about because I was listening to the press box on our sister station ESPN Las Vegas this morning. Tyler Bischoff and Ed Graney, of course, Ed joins us each and every Monday around 2:30. He joins the show, and they were talking about the Raiders, and they were kind of going through the roster, and Tyler was talking about the fact that you know, Max Crosby, what he did to go out there and play in week 13 or week 12, I should say, and it was amazing, and the dude's just an animal, and everyone wants a Max Crosby on their team, and he's not wrong. And it's funny because Tyler Bischoff is never the most positive cat. Like, he's not. But he was praising Max Crosby for all his efforts and what he's done. I was like, wow, this is pretty interesting. So that really caught my attention to begin with. And then he said, but what else do they have? And then that caught my attention. Because, again, I've been a very big supporter of the Raiders' defense this year, thinking that they've done some really good things. And so it just kind of got me thinking as he was going through the roster, and he was like, they have players that get it done, obviously. They're playing, especially defensively, at a good level. It's not great, but it's good. But he was going through the list, and, like, nobody stood out. Nobody's name really stood out and popped outside of Max Crosby. And so, you know, he kind of threw the question at Ed, like, you know, is this roster good enough? And then it made me kind of think, like, well, is it? Right? So I'm driving into work and thinking, okay, we talk a lot about the coaching. We've talked a ton about the coaching, right? When Coach McDaniels was the coach, we talked about that. Talked about that situation. Talked about offensive coordinator. We talked a ton about the coaching. So it just all of a sudden it popped in my head, okay, if the coaching is right, if you're happy with the coaching, head coach is right, offensive coordinator is right, defensive coordinator is there doing their job. Do the Raiders as a team, as one complete unit, have enough all-around talent to compete consistently? If not, what position or positions need to be upgraded, in your opinion? Again, this came from, you know, Tyler just kind of spitballing with Ed up and down the roster. Really, he was talking about the defense, and there was really no defensive stars. So then, again, just kind of made me think, well, can this team compete? We've seen them in games. We've seen them in a lot of games. But can they compete consistently with the roster that they have? Do they have enough talent on the roster, in your opinion, to compete consistently? And if not, then what position or positions do you think need to be upgraded? So that's the question that I throw out there to you at 702-365-9200. That's the Raider Nation listener line. And also, that's the don'tbebroke.com text line. Again, real simple, 702-365-9200 for both. Ari, should I start with you? Are you deep diving into the talent pool? Or are you going to phone a friend?
A little bit of both. And I was I was also distracted because I was setting something up here on the computer. So
So you weren't paying attention.
Yeah, so I might have to can you repeat the question?
No. I'm gonna go ahead well, and pass on you. No, there's no repeats.
Was the question does he need what kind of help?
No, fair enough. You're like what I just did.
That's fair.
Ladies and gentlemen, what I just did was classic what a lot of teachers do in school.
Yep.
They start to notice their students in class doing something else and know that they're not paying attention and say, you know what, I'm gonna call on them and see what they say. So as Ari is scrambling in the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio, who knows what he's doing, but he's going back and forth. He's got a weird look on his face, and this is the beauty of technology. We're on this video streaming thing where I can check in and what he's doing. He can check on me so we can communicate. I was like, you know what? This guy is – I don't know where he's at. So I thought I'd call on you. So how about that?
Yeah, call on somebody else.
Listeners, call Tyrone!
There you go. Call Tyrone.
Oh man!
Can I still get a shot? Because I did hear the part about
Tyler, I threw it out there.
But yeah,
okay.
It's also written on my thing. If I was a smart,
I know
student,
that's true. Yeah, that's true. Student, you have the outline right there in front of you. You could have read it.
Said, hold on a minute. All
right, here we go. If the coaching is right,
yes.
Again, taking the coaching out of it, everyone's comfortable with the coaching. Everyone feels like okay, the coaching is definitely where it needs to be. Whether it's Antonio Pierce or anyone else, whatever the case is, do the Raiders as a team have enough all-around talent to compete consistently? We know that they have Max Crosby. We know he's a superstar. Know that they have Davante Adams. Josh Jacobs is currently on the roster because, of course, he's on that one-year deal, so they've got to work that out. But is there enough all-around talent on this team to compete consistently compete? And I'm talking about the AFC, the AFC West, the NFL in general.
The NFL, the big boys, yes. And right. I'm gonna and because of that, and that's me kind of inching up to the answer, which is I don't see it without, and I'm also taking what I hear a lot on the show and other stuff, is I personally believe the quarterback situation. I believe in Aiden O'Connell, but is he an elite quarterback competing with some of the teams or some of the, you know, the conferences you just mentioned? No. And also the O-line, obviously. So I guess, you know, one of those two things at least has to be
And I mean, so yeah. But I do think if you inject not even an elite quarterback, but someone that what they thought Jimmy G was going to bring, something of that a caliber, experience, Super Bowl experience, that might push it over the edge. But yeah, we're a combination of both. Maybe just rocking with Aiden and getting that O-line up like you've said before. Again, I believe in Aiden, but it's a long, long journey, I think. I don't think he's just going to be ready to go next year all the way, but that's just me.
Right. I mean, no, that's a good point. You know, and of course, it always is going to start with the quarterback position. If you're looking around your roster, obviously you want to see who the trigger man is going to be. And, you know, they might get comfortable at the end of the season and say, yeah, this guy, he can get it done. Like, there's no doubt he can get it done. We feel comfortable. But then there's still going to be a learning curve. He's not just going to go in there and wow everybody. He's still going to have a learning curve. And so if they do make that decision, I'm thinking, okay, cool, no problem. But then I'm looking around the rest of the roster. And again, kind of like I looked at the offense this year and said, okay, the offense should be able to compete. Now, with that being said, I'll say when it comes to if not what positions need to be upgraded, I'll start with the offensive line. If the Raiders go another season without upgrading the offensive line, and I mean to a much higher level, not to a I think that this will work level, and well, we'll just make this addition, like putting masking tape on it. Masking tape is great, but we all know what happens with masking tape. It eventually breaks. I mean, really solidifying that offensive line. I mean, it might be time to even draft an early offensive lineman, right? And I know there was conversations about the potential of that last year, but the guy that they were looking at wasn't available when they picked. So there might come a time where you have to address the offensive line with an early draft pick that you're very comfortable in.
Now, that is something I'm okay with, meaning like that. Then I believe in Aiden O'Connell long term. Like, then you're doing something right. I don't necessarily believe in, I don't know about the draft, but if let's just say they had an extremely high pick, like one or two, I don't know if personally, I know a lot of people disagree. I don't know if that quarterback is the difference, really. I think we already have like a pretty solid QB who's just going to get there eventually. He's a rookie. We forget that, I think, sometimes. Like
I don't know if he's on that level. I don't know if he's that dude, but I understand what you're saying.
No, he's no Caleb Williams. I'm just saying I don't know if that's what you would do with a high pick. So I think I agree with you as I'm saying, like, you use a high pick for something like that if it makes sense, or maybe a trade after the fact or something. But
right.
One other question I have on the opposite, maybe we have to address it later because we do have a caller, is if they didn't have all these really good weapons, Josh Jacobs, Devontae, mm-hmm. Max Crosby, Daniel Carlson, and A.J. Cole,
right?
Would they be like 1-10 like the Panthers? That's the question that I have. I think they're keeping them, holding them together is definitely happening.
Right, right. No, there's no doubt. And there's a good way to address that. Yeah, I like that. There's a really good way to address that, and maybe we'll do that a little bit later. But let's go out to the phone lines real quick at 702-365-9200. Don't forget Ryan Hogue, former Raiders wide receiver, Mr. Irrelevant in 2003, even though he's not irrelevant to us, will join us coming up at 2:30. Let's talk to Paul right here in Vegas. Paul, what's on your mind, brother?
Hey, Q, how you doing, bud?
I'm fantastic.
Wonderful. Now, look. With the topic of the offensive line, I personally think we do need a new quarterback.
Okay.
I mean, O'Connell is great, don't get me wrong, but there's only been a few quarterbacks that's been able to come in and just, like, you know, be the quarterback. You know what I'm saying about that? Yeah. So if we get a new quarterback and he is able to, like, come out and just be the quarterback, then I personally think we have all the weapons that we need to be able to go as far as Super Bowl. So that's all I want. You know what I'm saying? Is we need a new quarterback. I mean, I love O'Connell. Don't get me wrong. But mm-hmm. It's just, he is just not the quarterback for us. So.
Okay. Hey, good stuff. Good stuff. Paul in Vegas. And look, I'll say this. At the end of the day, what Aiden O'Connell, in my opinion, has at least proved, and I'm saying at least because there's still five games, he's already at least proved that he could be a really good backup quarterback in the league. He's already proved that. Right? And that's where you got to start. You got to show that you can walk before you can show that you got to run. And he's shown that he could do that. At the very least, he could be a really good backup quarterback with the potential of being more. But he has five games to prove that he could be more. And I think that the decision has to come after that five games, what he's going to be one way or the other. Because you got to decide, is that your trigger man that could take you as far as you want to go? Or is that just a man? Right? A quarterback that could do some good things, but not going to get you over the hump. Really good stuff, Paul. Definitely appreciate that. Again, 702-365-9200. That is the phone line and the text line. Matter of fact, Susan hit us up and said, Q, I love the new way to text. Can't tell how many times I got a message saying thank you for contacting ESPN Radio, even though the ones that did go through look the same. LOL, that's Raider Susan. So it makes it a lot easier. Again, the same number, Same thing, man. Same thing. 702-365-9200. You can call us. You can text us. We love it. The don'tbebroke.com text line, Raider Nation listener line, 702-365-9200. Again, if the coaching is right, do the Raiders as a team have enough all-around talent to compete consistently? And if not, what position or positions need to be upgraded? This is Raider Nation Radio 920.
That was the opening drive of Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Brought to you by Paul Padilla. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by Porta Subs. Make sure you check out Porta Subs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area Porta Subs, neighborhood sandwich shops, order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
Play action, looking downfield, still holding. Adams comes free at the 54 sideline, down to the 40, and he breaks away to the 35-yard line where they will mark him out of bounds. He broke free from LeJarius Sneed and connects for a 32-yard pickup on 3rd and 2.
You're listening to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
You heard the voice of Jason Horowitz's Sound of the Silver and Black. Of course, he's on the call with Lincoln Kennedy. Lincoln Kennedy is a regular contributor every Tuesday and Thursday here on Raider Nation Radio 920 Unnecessary Roughness. That was a big pass play, Aiden O'Connell to Devontae Adams Sunday versus the Kansas City Chiefs. This is Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920. Join us now on the phone lines, former Raider wide receiver Ryan Hoag. He was drafted in 2003, the last pick in the draft. They call him Mr. Irrelevant, but Ryan, I like to push back on that. When you get selected in the NFL, when you get drafted and you hear your name called, that is everything but irrelevant.
Q, I tell you what, appreciate you having me on, and you nailed it. You know, they say you're more likely to be struck by lightning than you are drafted in the NFL, so I take it as a badge of honor, regardless of the ridiculous title. And it's actually a pretty unique club to be in. There's only 48 of us in the world that can say they're Mr. Irrelevant. So.
Hey, look, if I could be 49, I would have been. Right? let me have been in that club, man. I would have definitely done that. But, Ryan, for you, your journey, I mean, you walked on as a soccer player at Wake Forest. Then you went to D3 football. So then what was the emotions like, again, when your name is getting called, when you're getting that phone call saying you're being selected by the Oakland Raiders?
Well, I tell you what, you know, leading up to it, after my junior year, I kind of got on the map because I ran 4.3 for scouts. And so my senior year, they were at practice every day. And unlike Division I schools, which are pretty tight as far as allowing scouts in to view practice, like, oh, we have an open-door policy. Anybody can come and, you know, do whatever they want, see our film, all the things. And so every day I had that, you know, perspective that there was a chance I was going to be drafted. Then as you lead up to the draft, you're getting, you know, people telling you this and that, and teams calling you, hey, you know, anywhere from the 3rd to 7th round, we got you graded and this and that. And, you know, you don't know what all goes into that, but you just take it as word. And then once the draft is happening, you know, people are calling you saying, hey, we got a pick coming up. We're drafting a receiver. You're number one on our draft board. Get ready to be a Dallas Cowboy, which happened to me in the 5th round and other teams that do that. And it was agonizing, to be honest, though, because back then there was only 2 days of the draft. Mm-hmm. Right, so that second day was all day, right. And I had my school, because Division III, you don't have, you know, guys get drafted very often. I think I was the first ever Division III player to get invited to the NFL Combine. Anyways, they did a whole, you know, day long celebration, and they had 200 people in the cafeteria watching, and we had my phone hooked up to like the overhead speaker, so anytime my phone rang for a team, like, everybody got quiet, and the school's out there supporting me and friends and family. And to be honest, when you're 6-7 hours in, and I just felt bad for everybody. Right. Not only myself, obviously, but I felt bad for having to put people through 7 hours of holding, waiting on bated breath. And then, you know, the Raiders finally call, and it's you know, it was amazing. I mean, it's one of those experiences. I got so excited, I hung up on the call. I hung up on Coach Callahan. Like, Bill Callahan's like, do you want to be Mr. Irrelevant? I was like, I am, and I hung up on him, and everybody started cheering, and I didn't know what's happening. I was like, oh, no, how can I call him back? So it was a special moment, but it was kind of indicative of my playing career with the Raiders, how it started.
That is awesome. And just, I mean, just the whole story and the journey. And I can only imagine you sitting there. And of course, things are a lot different in 2003 than they are now in 2023. So I could just imagine how you were feeling and having a party and all that anticipation and just waiting. And like you said, agonizing. I can only imagine. So how is a young man from Minnesota, from Minneapolis, all of a sudden, hey, by the way, you're going to be an Oakland Raider. And I'm sure you knew all the stories and all the tales of the Oakland Raiders.
Man, you know, and coming from a D3 Christian college that we're playing for the love of the game and for each other, and then you go to the most hated team in the NFL that prides themselves on leading the league in penalties. It was the culture shock of all culture shocks, let me tell you. And to be honest, I did not adjust very well. Not only was I not accustomed to, you know, how hard they coached, mm-hmm. and I would say that regime in particular, if you remember that year,
I do.
Like, there was a lot. There was, you know, to Bill Romanowski, to, you know, ended a guy's career, and Charles Woodson ended up quitting during the season. I mean, there was just a lot that year. It just did not go well, and it kind of was from that Callahan regime of just kind of that verbal abuse type of military. And I realized really quick, you have to figure out how much you love football, right? And for me, you know, I was all planned on being a first grade teacher and was set up with that. And I was happy, you know, because I was born to be kind of a teacher, a coach. And then I got drafted, and then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to take this. I'm going to take it as far as I can. But that first year, that first training camp really, really puts it in perspective, like, oh, they don't care about you as a human. Okay, yeah, right. You're a business commodity. And if you can't help them. And I got hurt early on, so that put me behind the eight ball, certainly. But you learn what professionalism is real quick, and it was eye opening, and that's why a lot of these guys that all their life Q have been told you're the next great thing, and anybody that makes it to the NFL was the great thing in elementary school, middle school, all the recess. You know, they've been told, and anytime you make a mistake, it was like, oh, it's okay, you're going to make the next one. Once you get to the pros, everybody's good.
Yeah.
And everybody gets coached hard. So if you make a mistake, now it's being magnified and you're getting called out in front of others. Something that's never happened to everybody, that these D1 full scholarship kids that are used to being like just the guys, right? And now that's why you see these guys just, you know, crumble, and you're like, I've never seen that guy drop two passes in my entire life. He has five in one training camp day. Well, it's because they've never been coached hard.
Right.
They've always been told they were going to get the next one, as opposed to if you don't get the next one, you're out of here. And that's tough on your mental psyche. And let me tell you, that's why a lot of guys don't last long. And that's why the NFL stands for not for long.
It sure does. And I'll tell you, man, just hearing that alone, it puts anxiety on me. And I've never even sniffed a training camp outside of covering it from a media standpoint. Again, Ryan Hoge, former Raider wide receiver, drafted the last pick in 2003, but everything but irrelevant. That's just fantastic that you were drafted and got the experience that. So your journey through the NFL, you know, what was that like for you going from one training camp to one practice squad to another? What was that like for you, and how was that on the mentals?
You know, I ended up embracing it eventually, because you recognize that, you know, especially once I got past that 2-year mark, you recognize like, oh, I'm lasting longer than a lot of these people are. And it gets easier and easier as you go, because there's only so many offenses. And, you know, I think it was a blessing and a curse that I played for the Raiders my first year, because they had such a complex West Coast offense, right? Mm-hmm. Rich Gannon, reigning MVP in 2002. They're coming off a Super Bowl year. Their offense is, you know, very detail oriented and things like that. And once you learn that offense, as hard as it was as a rookie, regardless how smart you are, you have to have football smarts, and that's a different kind of smart. Then every single offense got easier and easier, and I was able to then play every position and be, you know, that kind of that jack of all trades, Swiss Army knife for people in special teams, and that's why I lasted as long as I did. But, probably the best moment for me was playing for Minnesota, because I ended up being there for 3 years. They have training camp 10 minutes away from my college, and so everybody, like, in southern Minnesota was rooting for the local kid that's from inner-city Minneapolis high school and things like that. But, you know, it really was fun and, you know, exhilarating that one day you're with the Raiders like I was, and then mid-season I'm with the Giants, and then I go to the Vikings, and then I ended up in Washington, and then I end up in Jacksonville, and I go to NFL Europe. And so all these opportunities that nobody really ever has the opportunity to do, I got to because I happen to run fast and can catch some footballs. Like, that's a really, really special thing. And is it as stressful, to your point, as it was, and every day is truly a job interview when you're a player like me, either the last one to make the team or the last one to get cut, right? I'm always on the cusp of that 53-man roster or that 10-man, or the, back then it was a 5-man practice squad. You know, it was one of those where, you know, you learn resiliency for sure and perseverance. And I've been able to instill that in my work ethic now and also as a coach in the athletes that I coach.
So you were in Austin. I mean, you've been all over, but you're in Austin. You're now here in the Vegas area, which is kind of funny because the Raiders are on a bye week. Next week they come back to play here in town at Allegiant, and they're taking on Minnesota. So, I mean, it's like you know, your hometown team, the team that drafted you, they're all going to meet up by the time the bye week is over, and that's got to be pretty special. So what do you have going on now that you're here in town?
Yeah, and I would argue that it's a must win for both those teams, and we can get into that later. But you know, I made the decision a couple weeks ago that you know, with winter coming, so I'm a tennis pro. Tennis and pickleball is
nice.
Tennis was my best sport growing up, so I teach tennis and pickleball, and I have a great tennis community in Austin. And I made the decision after doing some Raiders alumni events that they have a great alumni foundation here. Callie is an amazing alumni coordinator with that. And they told me that, hey, if I happen to be out here, they'll keep me busy. And
nice.
The one thing I miss in Austin is not being a pro sports, with the exception that they have an expansion soccer team. Mm-hmm. But they don't have pro sports here. And the thing I loved about Minnesota was being a part of that Legends community and going to make hospital visits around the holidays and going as a representative of you know, the Minnesota Vikings organization and speaking to schools or, you know, being the bingo caller at the Alzheimer's home or wherever it might be. And I really miss that. And, you know, talking to the Raiders, and they do an amazing job with their alumni, and there's just not a lot of guys here since they've moved from Oakland. So the opportunity is there. My job is flexible, and in terms of teaching, there's people want to play tennis everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And then I do some acting and modeling. I just signed with an agency actually today here in town. So I have the ability to kind of be transient. And with the Super Bowl, it kind of made sense to be here in town and see what kind of traction I can build with those things.
Man, let me find out you're doing everything around town, Ryan. Save some jobs for us, man. Come on, slow it down. Don't take.
it takes a hustler to know one, man. You're doing about 5 different TV radio shows, so
yeah.
you know how it goes.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong about that. You're right. I'm definitely hustling around town. That's awesome. Well, look, we're going to keep you busy as well. Let me close out with this, but we'll get you back on next week to talk about, you know, the game coming up. We'll get into some actual football activities, but wanted to just kind of, you know, get you familiar with everyone and welcome you to the area. We're excited that you're here, but you mentioned the alumni, and the Raiders have such a great alumni. What does it mean to you, you know, once a Raider, always a Raider?
Yeah, you know, a lot of teams – say that, right? And I have the opportunity to play for 5 teams, and I'm a part of 5 different Legends communities, and I've taken part in a lot of the alumni reunion weekends, right? Minnesota ironically does it about as well as about as well as all 32 teams, but I would say the Raiders stand out. I mean, you get 350 alums that come back for alumni weekend, and that's just to see a preseason game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Minnesota this year, this was about a month ago, I went back for that. And they had the most they've ever had, and it was like 97 guys,
wow.
Just to put in perspective. And again, Vikings are always considered like number one in team culture and this and that. Like, they have a really, really strong supportive system. That's 97. This is 350 guys we can have to a preseason game. And, you know, so once a Raider, always a Raider. I mean, they truly live it. Like, I obviously my time was short lived and this and that, and people jab me about Mr. Irrelevant, but you know, just be, as long as you wore the silver and black, man, I tell you, they welcome you and you know, Mark Davis and Al Davis, rest in peace. But those guys really truly believe that if you were a part of the team culture and team history, that you are always, always, always welcome back to games, representing the team, things of that. And that's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is.
The New York Giants, I'm not trying to, you know, poo-poo on anybody, but the New York Giants didn't even have a alumni weekend this year. And last year,
Wow. They,
you know, there's only about 40 of us guys that went back for that. So, and obviously they have a rich history and things like that. So it says something, you know, even though you've had five different coaches in the last 3 years, right? I mean, they still have an amazing following, an amazing representation of former guys and guys that want to come back and be a part of what's happening.
That's awesome. It really is. That's some really good stuff. Ryan, what we'll do, man, we'll make sure that we get you on next week as well. We'll start talking Raiders and Vikings, preparing for Sunday's game, and we'll have to get you in studio as well. I can see us doing a lot of good things together, if that's okay with you.
Hey, love to hear it. Love to hear it, and happy to help.
And then maybe you could teach me some pickleball as well at the same time. I got to learn some pickleball skills.
Hey, you got to be an athlete. I don't know if you're an athlete yet. Steve hasn't told me yet if you're an athlete. So
oh, no, I'm the athlete of all athletes, man. I'm the guy. I got you.
Okay, all right.
Defensive back here. I got you.
Hey, so you're a receiver that can't catch. That's
exactly.
Okay, got it.
Hey, Ryan, good stuff, man. Thanks so much. I appreciate you, brother.
All right, all love. QC.
All right, my man. There he goes, Ryan Hoag right there. Yeah, he fits right in, right? Already giving me jabs. Yeah, he fits right in. I like that. We're going to do a lot of work together. Former Raider wide receiver, drafted in 2003, was the last pick in the draft, but anything but Mr. Irrelevant. We're going to keep him around for a long time. I can see us doing some really good stuff with him. I'm glad he's in town now. So there you go. Get to know Ryan Hoag, former Raiders wide receiver, with us here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Ari, I know you said skip it, but let's do it anyway. Call number 9 real quick. We're going to get you hooked up. Like every single hour, we're going to get you hooked up. We're going to get you 2 tickets to the Late Night Magic at the Orleans. That's going to get you in to win 2 tickets to the Raiders-Vikings game coming up week 14 action at Allegiant Stadium. Thanks to Boyd Gaming, the official local casino partner of the Silver and Black. Caller number 9, 702-365-9200. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
This is Unnecessary Roughness, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio, here's your boy Q.
Many thanks to Ryan Hoag, former Raiders wide receiver, joined us in the last segment. Really good stuff from him. We'll have him on multiple times, including next week, to talk about the Raiders and Vikings Week 14 action, as we'll deep dive into that. Then Sir Whiskey Ray hit us up on our don'tbebroke.com text line at 702-365-9200. Q, did he say model? That's the Raider way. Cheers, Sir Whiskey Ray. P.S. Yes, Q, I'm in the Bay. San Bruno, to be exact. Hop on Ari's ride and come out this way. LOL. He's got the 50th birthday party for the wife coming up this weekend. So the big ups to my guy, Sir Whiskey Ray. Big ups to my guy, Larry, who is actually our winner. He got in to win the tickets to that Raiders-Vikings game coming up week 14 action at Allegiant Stadium. Thanks to Boyd Gaming, the official local casino of the Raiders. Let's go out to the phone lines real quick. We have Shereen Williams from Pro Football Talk coming up at the top of the hour. Let's talk to our guy, Prude Tucky. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind, my man?
Hey, how you doing today, Q?
Fantastic.
Oh, good. You know what? The first thing I would start, you know, if I was just hired or my interim tag would go off, first of all, with all the meetings I have with the owner, I think it would start with the owner, and I'd say, boss, you know, I need some flexibility. And I look at the 49ers, that they have 10 to 12 Pro Bowlers with a cap. How are they doing that? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of money to be distributed. So I want a Harvard capologist. I want the best possible capologist. With that, I would have 4 reasonable goals to attack the offseason. My number one priority would be a quarterback. And I love O'Connell, but I really believe he's a second, you know, he's a backup quarterback at best. And that can improve, but mm-hmm. I would identify how am I going to get the quarterback we need to draft, whether it's, you know, whoever. But you identify that person and do what it takes to do that. So I would do that. Now, go into free agent, number 2. I would identify 1 or blue chippers, a blue chipper or 2, and say, what do I need? Either a stud right tackle or a defensive back. Now, you can get a lot of free agents to just kind of fill in. But we already have some good players, as you mentioned in the beginning of the show, some talent there. But it's not enough to get to that top level. So instead of spreading all this money around, identify one or two in your free agency. Number three, trade. Again, identify that one key player. For me, it would be a defensive tackle, you know, to support that front line. And again, don't go all over, but identify that and go from there. And the last one is really if you have a very special lucky charm or you're very religious, get some prayers involved. And again, use the best available at position in rounds 3 to 7. And I think you can get somebody like that. And again, the best sample would be, hey, Warner and Kittle, all pros, fifth round draft pick. And of course, the last pick in the draft, Purdy. So I'm using that as an example because you don't really know until you draft. So you got to have some luck in anything that you do. But if I identify just these three or four, I think it adds to whatever core what the Raiders have right now. That's how I would attack it.
All right, good stuff. Appreciate you, my man, Prue Tucky. Good stuff. Got us right up against it, man. He knows how to hit the post. I like that. Shereen Williams, Pro Football Talk, kicks off hour number 2 of the show. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.